Lord, we thank you that your word is a treasure to us, that is more than anything else the world affords, sweeter than honey, more valuable than gold. Help us now as we read and study it together. Help our hearts to be burning within us as you speak to us. Give us understanding, obedience, determination, all that we need, Lord, to follow Jesus in this world. Help me to speak faithfully and clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. When we do the Christianity Explore course, there's a session on a whole session devoted to the idea of grace. God's generosity towards us, how he gives us what we don't deserve in Jesus. And often a question comes up, which is very like verse 1 here. If God just forgives us out of his grace, then why not just keep on sinning? And that's what Paul says. What should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Verse 1. Why not just keep sinning? Paul says, verse 2, by no means, by no means. So now is a good time to ask the question, how are you getting on in your fight against sin? How's that going? How's your fight against sin going? Perhaps someone will say, well, David, thank you for asking. There are good days, there are bad days. Fight is a good word. Yeah, thank you. With the Spirit's help, I keep on walking with Jesus and his word. Someone else might say, well, I have to admit, I do keep falling to sin. I've kind of given in, really. I trust in God's grace, his forgiveness, so that's okay. Another person says, fight against sin? That all sounds very keen. God is in the business of forgiveness, isn't he? He just forgives, that's what he does. We sin, he forgives. And someone else might say, why are Christians always talking about sin? Well, in the book of Romans so far, Paul has been telling us the wonderful things that this one man, Jesus, has done. Jesus, the Son of God, divine and human. One person, and last time we looked at chapter 5, we saw that instead of condemnation, he's brought justification. So that word justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. The not guilty verdict, God sees us as if we're perfectly right with him because of Jesus, instead of condemnation. Jesus has brought death, Jesus has taken us out of death and brought life. There's life and not death, reconciled to God eternally and now. And we've been taken, instead of having wrath on us, God's right judgment for our rebellion against him. We experience overflowing grace, the gift of righteousness. So it's wonderful what this one man, Jesus, has done. But there's a danger that Paul senses. And that's that we use grace as an excuse to sin. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. So how do we fight sin and live out the gospel? In this section, verses 1 to 14. He gives us something to know and something to do. And the way Paul has written this section has got a great arrangement. He's got verses 1 to 4 are him explaining, making his point. Verses 5 down to 10, he explains it with a paragraph on death and a paragraph on life. And then verse 11 to 14, he applies it. So he states it, explains it, and applies it. If you want to know how to do a talk, there it is from Paul. So how does he start? And we're going to look at verses 1 to 10 and see something to know, and it's this. With Jesus, you died and have new life. With Jesus, you died and have new life. So are you trusting in Jesus? Well, the old you has been crucified with Jesus, nailed to the cross. The chains that bound you to sin have been broken. You've got a new existence as God's friend and child. Maybe you're not yet a Christian. You're thinking about it. Well, This tells us that there is a new spiritual reality available to you with Jesus, a different dimension of living that you don't know now, but if you turn to Jesus, you will. With Jesus, you died and have new life. So he starts by posing a question that he thinks people might be asking. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? To see where this is coming from, just to go back up the page a little bit to verse 20. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we looked at this. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So someone might think, okay, well, if I sin more, grace increases more. That's a great thing, isn't it? And Paul says, no, by no means, verse 2, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, when do we die, you might say? Remember your baptism, says Paul, verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Remember your baptism? And we go, no, I was a baby. A little bit of water splashed at most of us. Some of us had immersion. Some haven't been baptized yet. But he's saying, look, back in the first century, when an adult came to faith in Jesus, pretty soon, almost immediately afterwards, they were baptized by immersion. So think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. And the Ethiopian's on his way back to Ethiopia. He's reading the scriptures, and Philip comes up alongside, tells him the gospel, and the guy says, look, here's a pool, why don't I get baptized? And Philip baptizes him, splosh, down into the water, and up again. And it's an outward sign of an inward spiritual reality. On the outside, down into the water, and up again. A picture of what's true by faith in Jesus in a person's heart. That they've been buried with Jesus by faith, by trusting in him. So, splosh into the water. And with Jesus by faith in him, they've been raised to new life. Whoosh, up they come again, out of the water. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, verse 3. We were therefore buried with him, splosh, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, whoosh, we too might live a new life. It's an outward picture of something inward and spiritual. You see, by grace and faith combined with grace, we are united to Jesus. This is a new idea, a new point, a new doctrine that Paul is bringing into the argument in the book of Romans here. Through grace, God's grace, and our faith, we're united to Jesus. We've already thought about moving different realms. So the realm or the zone of Adam, where we are born, and where we instinctively get that awful hereditary disease of sin. We doubt God, we deny him, we distort his word, we dismiss him, and we get what we deserve from God, death. All the D's get spiritual and physical death as a consequence, and judgment, condemnation. So in the zone of Adam, but by trusting in Jesus, we can move out of that into the zone, the realm of Jesus. And in the realm of Jesus, when we trust in Jesus, God moves us into this realm where he does something spiritually incredible. Verse 5. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. God does something spiritually incredible. And Paul hasn't spoken about this yet in the book. He's bringing it in now for us to think about. By faith in Jesus, through all that God has done in his death and resurrection, we get united to Jesus in his death and resurrection. And we get all the benefits that come and all the consequences that come from that. So united to him in his death and united to him in his resurrection. First in his death, verses 6 and 7. For we know that our old self, that's the sinful old self, was crucified with him. So that the body, our body, us, ruled by sin, our master, We're slaves to sin. The body ruled to sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who's died has been set free from sin. Brilliant. He's saying this is a reality about you when you put your faith in Jesus. No longer chained up to sin. No longer under its power. That old you is gone, nailed to the cross with Jesus. You're not ruled by sin. You're not its slave. You're set free. Hallelujah. You're united to Jesus in his death. With Jesus, you died. But that's not all. With Jesus, you have new life. You're united to Jesus in his resurrection. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. It's permanent. Jesus' resurrection life is permanent. Never going to be gone back on. He's going to live eternally. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And there's a now and a not yet for the believer in this. We're united to Jesus in his resurrection now. So today, if you're trusting in Jesus, you're glued to Jesus. You're raised to new life with him, a spiritual new life. It's hidden. You can't see it, but it's true of you in God's eyes, sure and true. Grace has glued you to Jesus. And what happened to him happens to you. You died with him. You've been raised with him. He's still alive today, as he was on the day of the resurrection, verse 9. He cannot die again. And so you are alive in him. So a believer in the first century was alive in Jesus. A believer in the 21st century is alive in Jesus. Excuse me. The death, Christ, since Christ was raised from the dead, verse 9, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. So that's today for you, a hidden spiritual reality. There's now and not yet, that's the now. The not yet is still to come, and that's that one day when Jesus returns, which he will do, he says, cosmically, you won't have to say, I wonder if Jesus has returned. No, we'll all know it across the world. He won't turn up at the end of the 19th century as a guru in India, as some of our friends think locally. No, when Jesus returns, everyone in the whole world will know at once. So on that day, or if we go to meet him through death in advance of that, then not yet, it'll be a physical reality that we'll experience in bodies, risen with Jesus. Grace has glued us to Jesus. What happens to him, died and risen, happens to us spiritually, and on that day, physically as well. With Jesus, you died and have new life. Do you ever watch the One Show? Occasionally, it's on, I see it. And apparently on Thursdays, they do this thing called One Big Thank You. And I saw it this Thursday. There's a lady called Debbie, and she's a great charity fundraiser. And the One Show says thank you to her by organising a great thing. And what happened was she went to, she's a Eurovision fan, and she went to the ABBA show at the O2, Mamma Mia. And she thought it was a kind of a day out to visit the set and meet the stars. So there she was, wandering around, meeting everybody, and that was all very nice. But behind the scenes, we all knew something different was happening. A Eurovision superstar, none other than, wait for it, Cheryl Baker, Bucks Fizz, making your mind up, was going to appear, they won, don't laugh, they won, was going to appear and give the one big thank you from the One Show. That was all behind the scenes, and after a few things happened, boom, they came in and there was a big shout, hooray! Now we could see all that behind the scenes as the viewer. And as we read this chapter, we're given the help by Paul to see behind the scenes of what looks to be a normal human life, but because someone's trusting in Jesus, they've died with him and are risen with him. It's a big reveal. You became a Christian. Things all look the same. You're still tempted. There's still all the hassle of the world. But behind the scenes, Paul shows us what's really going on. With Jesus, you died and have new life. Just pause for a moment to let that sink in. Because you didn't know it, maybe you weren't aware. So maybe you're someone who's been coasting in your Christian life. You know, church is just another thing you do. You go to the movies, you go to quiz night, you go to church. Stop and take a step back and have a look at yourself and be excited. You died with Christ. You're raised with him. You're united to Jesus. You know, as you walk down the street to the bus, everything seems very normal around you, but the reality is that you're alive with Jesus now and for eternity. Now you can't see it, but then you will. Now you really are alive with him, and then you'll still be alive with him. Be excited about knowing Jesus. Be excited about church. It's just not just another thing. All these people sitting around you, united to Jesus, all of them, whether they're trusting in him. There's some inquirers, that's great. We can be friends and love them. But the believers are united to Jesus. Brilliant. And then get stuck into the quiz night or whatever, because that is your front line where you meet other people. Some of them trust in Jesus, many don't. And you get to be salt and light in Jesus' words and a witness to him there. Maybe you're not coasting, maybe you're disenchanted. You became a Christian, it was all whoosh, and then you just think, well, actually, not much has changed, really. Hear Paul say, no, everything has changed. Everything has changed. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Anyone who has died has been set free from sin. This is the power of the cross. This is God's love for you. Everything has changed. With Jesus, you died and have new life. So that's something to know, says Paul. And then verses 11 to 14, there's something to do. And it's very straightforward. Die to sin, live to God. It follows what he's just said, doesn't it? Die to sin and live to God. Take what is true for you because of Jesus, true of you because of Jesus, and make the most of it from day to day in your life. Enjoy what you are. You already are dead to sin and alive to God. Enjoy being it. He says, verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourselves. Realize. Recognize that you are. It's like the Bible is a mirror. And as we look in the mirror, God shows us what we really like. So with the Bible mirror, we look in chapters 1 to 3 of Romans and see what we're really like. We're sinners. Whatever kind of person we are, we've all fallen short of God and need his salvation in Jesus. And then we get on to chapters 3, 4 and 5. And wow, look what we are in Jesus. Dead to sin and alive in him. It's amazing. Enjoy what you are. Verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And he's got two instructions that follow this. Die to sin and live to God. Die to sin. Get stuck into the battle against sin so there's less and less sin in your life. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. And notice he tackles the big view and the detail. So the big view, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, your whole self. Step back. Who's in charge? Do not let sin reign so that you obey its evil desires. Who's in charge in your life? Sin or God? Who's in charge? Thank you, Jesus. Sin's rule is over. Your old self has been nailed to the cross. Look at who you really are, God says in his word. The big view, and then there's the detail view in verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of righteousness, of wickedness. Oops. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. So he zooms in. Are you using your hands as an instrument of wickedness? Are you using them for evil? Or your legs? Are you using them for evil? Your eyes? Are you doing evil with your eyes or your voice or whatever? Spot it, fight it. He doesn't mention yet the Holy Spirit. He's holding the Holy Spirit till chapter 8, when we'll find out more. For example, chapter 8, verse 13, "If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live." So, die to sin. Die to sin, first instruction. Second one, live to God. Live to God. Make what you do a gift to God, an offering to Him, to our loving Heavenly Father, an offering coming from the joy in our hearts because of His salvation. Verse 13 again. "Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." So again, we've got the big and the detail. Don't do things, he said. Don't do things for God like ticking a box, a list of commands. Oh, I've kept that command, I've kept that command. No. Respond to Him and His grace with your whole self. Verse 13, second part of verse 13. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, with your whole self and with every part of your body, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. It's like courtship, isn't it? A young man is courting a young woman, and he goes to watch the Downton movie with her because he loves her. She goes to the Mercedes experience with him because she loves him. Or vice versa, however it works. It's a response to their love. And here, we do things in our whole self and in our different parts because of the risen Lord Jesus and because He's wonderful. Live to God. Look, he says, he uses the word instrument, doesn't he, a lot there. Offer every part of yourselves to Him as an instrument of righteousness. And the word means really, it's not clarinet instrument. It really means an implement or a tool, a thing that you use. So be a thing that God can use for righteousness. So we wake up every morning. "Good morning, God. Here I am. Today I want to be something you can use for your goodness. How can I be useful to you, my Lord God?" But if we do allow ourselves the instrument analogy, like a clarinet, we can wake up and say, "Lord, how can I make music to you in my life today? A tune that is in tune with you." Live to God. Die to sin and live to God. Now, you might be thinking, is this a magic bullet then? Can I go home and do this and I'll stop sinning? No. It's not, is it? Sin will not be gone, we learn from the Bible. Sin will not be gone until Jesus returns, or we go to be with Him through death. In the new creation, there is no more sin and nothing that comes with it. But for now, what this is part of God's armour and His weaponry, spiritual weaponry, for you and me to fight sin. So He's saying to us, pick it up, put it on, and use it. Die to sin, live to God. Well, how are you getting on in your fight against sin? It is a battle, says the believer. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Keep fighting. Keep fighting. With Jesus, you died and have new life. So you are on the winning side in the battle. Die to sin and live to God and enjoy what you are in Jesus. Keep fighting. "Oh, I've kind of given in," says someone else. Well, wake up. Are you trusting Jesus? Well, grasp hold of what He's done for you and who you are now in Him, glued to Him by God's grace. And make the most of that. Get up and fight with His help. "It all sounds very keen," says someone. No, it's the Christian life. Are you sure you've started? It's never too late to start. And maybe you're sitting here or listening online and you don't yet trust in Jesus. If you turn to him in repentance and faith, then the experience of sin in your life won't just vanish. That rebellion and rejection of God, sometimes we'll think those things or do those things. But God sees you in a completely new light. He looks at you as if it's just as if you'd never sinned. He looks at you and sees that you have died and are risen with Jesus and have an amazing new life. If you turn to Jesus, when you turn to Jesus. Let's pray. Let's take a moment in the quiet to think about that. How am I fighting sin? And these wonderful things we've learned, that with Jesus we died and have new life. And Paul's instructions for us: die to sin, live to God. Thank you for revealing to us, Heavenly Father, this great truth, an amazing hidden reality that we can trust in because of you and your grace and all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you, and help us, we pray, by the Spirit, to put to death the sins of the body and to live to you and enjoy who we are in Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. Amen.